All right, so what is masculinity? I know I'm a prop guy. I love my props. I love doing all that. So what do we have up here? We have things like a hatchet, right, in wood. I've got, let's see, what else makes something masculine? Oh, you know, tape measure. Every man should know how to build something, right? Every man should carry a gun belt. Yes, this is a gun belt. Yes, my partner and I do teach tactical shooting. Sidebar, if you need anything, you let us know. We're happy to help. But every man should own a gun. Every man should know how to shoot a gun. Every man should wear a gun belt. I tell you what, every man should have a trauma kit in case you shoot yourself. You know how to take care of it, right? So yes, this is a full trauma kit for gunshot wounds. So clearly, this is what is masculine. Clearly, this is masculinity, right? Like, I mean, this, yes, it's awesome. It's rugged. It's masculine. That used to be my definition. That used to be something that I believed. Why did I believe that? Now, my father and I, if we were to walk into a room, there'd be no doubt that y'all would go, that is clearly Danny's dad. Or you see me and you're like, that is clearly Dan's son. Yes, we even have the same name. I'm 30 years younger than him, but I basically look the same, just a little more ruggedly handsome. Don't tell him that, he's not here. Okay, but we're basically the same. However, we could not be more different in our personalities, in our traits, the things that we do that we find pleasure in. And let me just rattle off some of these lists so that you can really kind of wrap your head around this. Okay, so my father has 4 degrees, one of which is a doctorate. I have a bachelor's from A&M. There you go, yes. Where's Mark Harvin? You like that, buddy? Where you at? There he is, right in the middle. Oh, come on. All right, I know. I'm not gonna go there tonight. All right, so he has 4 degrees, I have 1 degree. He's a pastor and a professor. I am a builder in the construction industry. He drives a Lexus sedan, I drive a lifted truck, if you've seen mine. My father has my great-grandfather's World War I 1911 service piece, second model of 1911, right? Wrapped in a cloth in a sock drawer. I have one in every room of my house and one in my truck underneath the dash. So yeah, I'm ready. Always strapped. I'm basically always strapped. Not right now. Wherever's Wayne. Don't worry about it, Wayne. I don't have one up here right now. Okay. I know. He's going to be like, is he carrying a gun on stage? Nope. It's all good. Not tonight. Okay. My father literally wears a suit every day of the week. Wears a suit every day. A suit every day of the week. I own jeans and t-shirts. My father polishes his dress shoes. I polish boots. Not these, they're due, but yes, I do polish boots. My father shaves every day. I think I've changed my razor blade one time. Okay. My father styles his hair perfectly with mousse and hairspray. He's got this whole system that he does, and I grab a hat. Okay. So let me ask you guys this. I've painted this picture for you guys, okay? Hold this for a second. Who is more masculine? Ask yourself right now, answer in your mind, who's more masculine between the two of us? Here's my challenge. If you actually answered that question with one of us, you're proving my point. Because everything that I just listed are personality traits. They're just things that we have fallen in love with, or that we like to do, or that we find ourselves to be created in a way, but they're areas by which we live out our masculinity. They're not actually masculine in themselves. And why am I saying that? Because, guys, I want to change and take back what culture has distorted and is calling masculine. Because I think we're not tracking with what actually is masculine. We're assigning character traits and calling it a man. And that's not right. That is not what God has designed. Because we need to admit that in some way, what we think is masculine has actually been shaped and formed by culture and society. And those things that we have experienced in our life have shaped us. And even more so, the men who've come before us in our life have shaped our understanding of masculinity. And so, let me give an example. Why does my dad have 4 degrees? Why did he feel so inclined to pursue 4 different degrees, 2 masters, one bachelor and 1 doctorate. Why? Because in 1974, his high school guidance counselor said that he was not college material because of his traumatic brain injury when he was 10 and his learning disabilities. So he made it his mission to study and learn and be an intellectual because somebody told him no, okay? Why did I go into the home building industry? Because when I was in junior high, I went on my very first mission trip where we were building houses as a mission and giving them to people. And I loved creating something from nothing. And immediately I was like, I want to do that. So I became a builder. And I love everything that concerns building sciences. It's just a passion. Why does my father wear a suit every day of the week? I'm not exaggerating. He's probably got 40 different suits. I have one. I wear to weddings and funerals. Like, why does he have 40 suits? Because when he was watching an interview with Ronald Reagan said, when they asked him, why do you always wear a suit? He said, because the man who sits in this office, the office requires the best of this man. So I wear a suit. My dad was like, I'm going to wear a suit. That's what you do. Why do I wear jeans and boots and love my truck and tractor? Why? Because of Dale Grandstaff. Now, who's Dale Grandstaff? Dale Grandstaff was my surrogate grandfather. I didn't have a grandfather growing up. My father's dad passed when he was a boy, so I never knew my biological grandfather on my dad's side. And my biological grandfather on my mom's side really didn't want anything to do with me. Never knew him, never see him. He was in California my entire life and didn't even know him. To the point that, actually, sadly, he introduced himself to me at my own wedding. So that should tell you, didn't have a relationship with any grandfather figure in my life. Except for Dale Grandstaff. When my dad took a church in Overton, Texas, small East Texas town, literally has one stoplight. I think now it's a flashing light. He took the local Methodist church there. He became a senior pastor of when I was 5 to 9 years old. So we move out to this small Texas town. And I meet Dale Grandstaff, giant of a man who owned the biggest cattle ranch in the area. And he was just the salt of the earth kind of a man, right? Like just, he was a Korean vet. He had three daughters, which I guess, thank God, because I have three daughters. So I'm glad I got to know him when I was such a young age. He showed me what it was to have daughters. But anyways, I would literally spend every weekend with this man. And he just took me in. He didn't have any grandsons at the time, and so like I became his grandson. And I rode on the tractors with him. I learned about the cows. I was feeding all the cows. I'm doing all the horse stuff. I'm learning how to drive a truck. I'm doing all these things, and I'm like idolizing this man. And so in my most formative years, I'm being shaped by a man who is basically calling me his grandson. And why do I have the hatchet up here? Because when I was 7 years old, he said, Danny, every young man needs to know what it is to work hard and chop down a tree. Oh yeah, I'm seven. He hands me basically this hatchet. He hands me a hatchet and he says, go find you a tree and chop it down. Y'all, that was the most proud moment of my life when I'm looking for the most hugest 4-inch tree I could find. You know, you guys have kids, you know what I'm talking about, like a little 7-year-old, and I'm just wielding this axe, and this monster hatchet in my hand, and I find the tree, and I'm going to town. It took me like 2 hours with my little 7-year-old strength as best I could, but I chopped that tree down. And in a proud moment, I said, Mr. Grandstaff, put this in your truck. I'm going to show my dad. And he did. He took me home, and we literally dragged the tree out of his truck. And he just said it in my front yard. He said, Dan, your son wanted you to have this tree. So my point, guys, is that we are formed and shaped by the men who've gone before us. We have been formed and shaped by culture and what culture says is masculinity. But we have to be careful not to assign permanent traits of masculinity to what is personality or character-based, right? So masculinity is not the personality type, right? Yet, many of us have formed this idea that this is what masculinity is supposed to look like. And so now we're trying to live up to this standard because culture, the world, said, this is what you're supposed to be. You're supposed to wield a gun. You're supposed to know how to use an axe. You're supposed to do all these things and calling that masculinity. And that's not right. These are forms by which we live out our masculinity. My father is one of the most masculine men I know. And I wouldn't trust him with an axe, right? That's just the nature. We just come from different backgrounds, yet my father protected me, he cared for me, he provided for me, and the best part is, I lost my Bible. Here it is, right there. He taught me this. This is the only thing that matters. Wielding things like this will only get you so far. Right? Jesus said it, right? Don't be worried about the man who can destroy the body. Worried about what can take the soul. This is what he showed me. So we want to lean into this. What is true masculinity? Because if you're living up to the standard that doesn't exist, you're trying to become something that is not it, then we're going to be missing the mark, okay? So now I go, okay, well then what's the goal of the study? Why are we going to jump into 9 weeks of traits of masculinity? Why are we doing that? What's the point of going through this, right? It is not the goal of this study to create another checklist for you guys. We have plenty of checklists. I'm a checklist guy. I love my checklist. Again, builder, I want a whole sheet of things I know I got to get done. I love the checklist. This is not a checklist. I have failed you. Our leadership team has failed you. If you walk out of tonight and you walk out of this week thinking you have one more checklist that you've got to accomplish, that's not what it is, okay? So, but what this is, though, is becoming who God designed you to be by his definition of masculinity. So in order to do that, we should probably know what the design is, right? What is God's design? Here we go. Put it up there for me. Genesis 1:26 says this, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our own image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on earth.'" It continues in 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created a male and female. He created them. Y'all, we are the image bearers of God's masculine qualities. You in this room are the image bearer of God's masculine qualities. So you'd better understand what those qualities are. Amen? If you're carrying that image, you better understand what they are. Because we are to reflect his character and attributes to the world. Do y'all know that's your mission? You're to reflect that character and attributes to the rest of the world so that we steward all of God's creation, verse 26, steward God's creation so that we love him with our heart, soul, and bodies, and that we love others. That's in Matthew 22, the two great commands, and so that we lead others to a relationship with Christ. That's seen in Matthew 28, right? That's what a man is called to do. And so it's in our masculinity that would do that. It is for this purpose that you carry God's masculinity. And the fall that we see in Genesis 3 fractured what it looks like to be a man. And we've come up with some BS garbage and we call it masculinity. And it's not. It's oppressive. It's dominant. It's violent. You can name it all these things. It's passive. All I have to do is provide you money, honey. No, that's abdicating your responsibility and you're hiding behind some definition of masculinity. These are the things that we're going to go through this semester, okay? Now, so what's the point then of studying all this, right? If it's not a checklist, what then is it? Well, I can tell you this. Masculinity flows from the power of the Holy Spirit working in you. It only can be done by the Holy Spirit working in you. And the only way the Holy Spirit can work in you is if you surrender fully to God in a relationship with Christ. Then the Holy Spirit can work within you and draw out and make very clearly and refine the masculine qualities that he wants you to have. And then you become who God designed you to be. Amen? Are you guys tracking with me? So, real quick, four things for tonight that I want you guys to have. This is what they are. This is what studying the traits are going to be. So you can say, well, Danny, why are we going to study the traits? What's the point of studying these 9 traits if it's not a checklist, right? If it's not a checklist, what's the point? Here we go. Number one, rejection. It's so that you can reject the cultural stereotypes. If you know God's design, then you can clearly go, that's garbage, and that's crap, and that's a lie from the pit of hell. I am not following that definition of masculinity. You know God's way. You'll be able to very clearly see what is not. Rejection. Number two, reassurance. Okay? Along the way, guess what, guys? We're not 100% garbage, maybe 99%. I'm just kidding. You're not garbage. But the point is that some of these, you're going to go, hey, I'm not doing a bad job with that one. Like, I'm okay. I'm doing all right. Well, guess what? I love how the Holy Spirit works, because let the Father say to you, through his Spirit, to say, yes, son, keep tracking. You're making me proud. Keep going in that area. You're doing well. It's a reassurance. What do you have? That's good. That's a good thing. So it's going to reassure you, all right? Then it will also, these 9 traits will also be revelatory. It'll be a revelation. It is going to reveal the blind spots, the gaps, and the shortfalls that we have in our life as a man. Be ready for that. But you know what? I'm going to say it honestly. Have the balls to lean into it. If it isn't on your checklist, if it's something that you're like, man, I don't have that, don't walk away from it. God is still calling you to be all of his design. So it will be revealed to you. And that's a good thing. Because guess what? Once it's revealed to you and you submit it back to God, what is he going to do? He's going to restore it. We'll experience restoration. Don't stop at letting it be revealed. Woo, man, I am awful at that. Okay, let's go back to the one I am good with. Like, don't leave it there. Lean into, let the Spirit work in you and reveal that to you. But again, guys, you can't just go, man, I am terrible at this. Let me just grab this one up and I'm gonna work harder and I'm gonna do this. That's laboring in vain. You say, wow, I am not protecting my wife relationally. I'm not supporting her emotionally. And I don't know how to, God. God's going to go, good, lean into me. Lean into your brothers. Let me help you figure that out. Submit it back to him and say, God, I can't do this without you. I see a gap. It's been revealed. Restore it in me. All right? That's what this season's going to be. You guys good? Y'all ready? I'm excited for it. It's going to be a good one. Let me pray for us, and then I'm going to turn it back over, and you guys start your table time. Lord, thank you so much for this time, and thank you for these men. And I pray now, Lord, that you will walk with us on this journey of masculinity, that you will encourage us, that you will reassure us of where we're at in our journey, that you will reveal to us the gaps so that you can begin restoring us. Lord, we want to be fully restored, and we want to be the men that you've designed us to be, but we need you to do it. So, Lord, move now. Father, we love you. We trust you. Your precious name we pray. Amen.